Hey, everybody. It is Wednesday, December the 30th. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM, Brattleboro Community Radio. If it's Wednesday night at 9 p.m., you must be listening to This Show Is So Gay, and heck, you are. My name is Ken. I am flying solo tonight because my partner in crime, Becca, is home in New Jersey for the holidays. And speaking of New Jersey, we are kicking off tonight's show, our special holiday New Year's show, with a bit of an on-air correction. On last week's show, I told all of you a story about my dad in Temple and how the rabbi said something and how my dad responded. Well, it turns out I completely mucked up the story. And instead of retelling the story, I decided to get a person who was on the scene to tell us what really happened. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my dad, Barry Schneck, to This Show Is So Gay. Hi, Dad.
Oh, hi, Ken.
How's it going?
I miss Becca. I mean, I really like being called the shusher.
We'll get to that. All right, so let's let everybody know what happened. So the way I told it was apparently a little more dramatic, but that's okay. So you were in Temple. This was getting to be, it's almost a month ago at this point, wasn't it?
Well, all right, 3 weeks.
Okay, so you're sitting there in Temple, and the rabbi's giving his sermon, correct?
Well, it was more of an opinion.
Okay, and what did he say, to the best of your recollection?
Well, he started off by saying, I'm afraid, and I'm a little worried. He was afraid that he was going to hurt people's feelings, and he's worried that he would say the wrong thing.
Okay.
Then proceeded to give his opinions as to gay marriage in general, specifically in the state of New Jersey, because it was coming up for a vote.
Yes.
That particular week. By the way, Loretta Weinberg, who is a representative from the Bergen County area in the state of New Jersey, is
She's really trying to push it through.
Yeah, we have 2 weeks left. If Becca is back in Jersey, boy,
she should drum up support. Okay, so he expressed that it was not something that he was necessarily for.
He never said he was for. In fact, he took a stand against, expressed his opinions why, went in detail along those reasons of his reason why he was against it. And quite honestly, I waited for him to be finished before I walked out.
Okay, yes, and that would be what I messed up. You didn't walk out in the middle. That would be rude. You don't do that.
It would have been rude. I waited, but I made my position known. It happened that the president of the congregation was there, and I told him in no uncertain terms that because of what the rabbi had said, a 30-year member, that's me.
That's you.
Us, is now contemplating leaving the congregation.
Now, one lady did get up and leave, didn't she?
Yes, she was quite upset.
Yeah.
Apparently, her son is gay, and is it a known fact? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, her mother-in-law, I believe, was president of the congregation at one time.
Oh.
But I let her know also what my feelings were to, you know, show her that, you know, we united in our own little way.
I've been reading a lot of stories lately. I mean, as you said, it's pretty hot topic in New Jersey right now before Governor-elect Christie takes office, whether or not they can push this through. And I was reading a story a few weeks ago, before this happened in our temple, about how the Orthodox rabbis of New Jersey, I don't know if that's like an after-school group or an actual group, came out and made a statement against gay marriage. And that was a big deal because they're not supposed to be taking political positions as well.
They're going to do what they do, and people are going to say what they say. There is an organization known as the Rainbow Rabbis, but I don't know of any in North Jersey who are members of the organization, or at least admit to being part of it.
But then you did have a follow-up chat with the rabbi, correct?
He made it a point of calling. I quite honestly, I wasn't really in the mood for talking to him, but okay. I did call him back and express my opinions to him that it was a stupid stand. Obviously did not think this through, which he claims he did. He obviously did not think of feelings that would be hurt, which he admitted to.
Right.
And he said, this is my position. And whether or not I really don't think it's the position of the congregation, ours is a, or has been thought of as a liberal congregation. Quite honestly, it's involved right now in devoting a lot of time, effort, and people to the concept of intermarriage and bringing everyone into the tent, as we say.
Right.
And I said, why can't the tent be a rainbow tent? Why can't we extend it outward?
Did you actually use the phrase rainbow tent?
Yeah, it was something I heard in Philadelphia.
All right, that works.
Yeah?
Would you have preferred that the rabbi just not bring it up? I mean, or did you want him to? We were just surprised that he even brought it up at all, right? Much less
so
the fact.
Yeah. I was sort of like dumbfounded. I think I sat there for quite a while with my mouth hanging open.
Right. But, was it a packed day? Was there a bar mitzvah that day?
No.
Okay.
In fact, I believe he chose it on a day where there were as few as maybe.
Well, isn't that interesting? I'm sure that's a coincidence, though, don't you think?
No, I think he was really more in the timing, knowing that, you know, the vote was postponed, unfortunately, but he, at the time, we didn't know that.
Right.
He was stating his feelings, you know, just before the vote. He happens to be a staunch Zionist, very strong supporter of obviously Jewish causes and Zionism, but I guess for some reason this one has slipped underneath somewhere. It's not a cause. I don't know.
Well, Father of mine, as I've already told you, we have had a slew of emails come in to thisshowissogay@AOL.com, just really jealous that I have you as a dad and they don't. So I want to put that out there to you.
But, you know, it's always nice.
It's very nice.
I would respond to many of them if you want to give out our email address.
I will do that.
Does that mean I get a magnet?
You already have a magnet. You want another magnet? I'll get you another magnet.
Okay, well, that's important, you know. I got to have my magnet.
Now, if I get you a This Show Is So Gay t-shirt, do you have one of those yet?
No, but I certainly would wear it
to temple
wherever we're working out.
But would you wear it to temple?
Oh, well, that's a good question.
All right, let's just think about that.
I don't think it goes well with a tie.
All right,
yarmulke, but you know,
you'd be surprised, Barry Schneck. You're a darn good dad.
For sure. Thank you so much for thinking that way, and to. All your fans and the letter writers, a happy new year to all.
Next year in Jerusalem.
Bye,
Dad.
The night. perspective, but not the way I'm missing you. What's new? How's the weather? Is it stormy where you are? You sound so close, but it feels like you're so far. Oh, would it mean anything?
One of my favorite songs of all the time, Kiss the Rain by Billy Myers. Billy Myers is going to be calling into the show in just a few minutes. And hey, how about my dad just calling in? That was fun. Hey, congratulations to Minneapolis Assistant Police Chief Sharon Lubinsky, who has become the first openly gay U.S. Marshal. The U.S. Senate confirmed the Green Bay, Wisconsin native to be the U.S. Marshal for the Minnesota District. Last week's confirmation also makes her the first female marshal in the state. And I had to look this up, so in case you're sitting there thinking, hey, what does a U.S. Marshal do? They oversee federal courthouse security, witness protection, and the apprehension of federal fugitives. So, Chief Sharon Lubinsky, first openly gay U.S. Marshal. Yay! In other news, not so great news, over in Malawi, I don't know if folks saw this story, just happened today. Human rights groups in Malawi have leapt to the defense of two gay men who were arrested after marrying in the country's first public same-sex ceremony. The men were charged in court just today. They pled not guilty to charges of indecency. The charges carry penalties of up to 14 years in prison. Prosecutors said they might bring additional charges. The two men were arrested this past Sunday after performing a traditional wedding ceremony before hundreds of curious onlookers. I'm thinking that Malawi, not your vacation destination for your upcoming gay nuptials, not until they sort this out. Where you can go, however, is Latin America, because two Argentine men just became the first same-sex couple in Latin America. They had to face a ton of resistance before they were finally able to tie the knot. In December, they tried to legalize their marriage in Argentina, but they did not succeed. However, when Alex Freire, getting his name wrong, I'm sure, and his lover, Jose Maria de Bello, approached the governor of Tierra del Fuego province in Argentina. Their wish turned true. Just this past Monday, the gay couple tied the knot, and the ceremony was attended by federal and state officials. So to recap, Malawi, no. Argentina, yay. And please send us an email. We love our emails. thisshowissogay@aol.com. If you stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com, you can click on contact and join our Facebook group and see all the good things that are going on. We have an amazing lineup of guests coming up in the next couple months, actually. There's a lot lined up, so check that out. All right, I am going to play another song by Billy Myers. This is off of her latest album, Tea and Sympathy, and this is a song called Wonderful. And you know why, Billy Myers? Wonderful. Hold on one second.
Wonderful, blue, wonderful.
Love that song. Love that song. All right, time to welcome a guest. Guest, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Lovely. Let me introduce you then, folks. And I got to tell you, this is an absolute, absolute pleasure for me. Formerly a nurse and an insurance agent, Billie Myers put out her first album, Growing Pains, in 1997. The first single off of that album, Kiss the Rain, spent, and I think this is an actual statistic, 1.5 million weeks on the charts. Is that about right? I think that's about right. She toured with Lilith Fair. She's been on The Tonight Show, The Rosie O'Donnell Show, Good Morning America. She released her second album in 2000, the smash dance hit Just Sex in 2005, and just this year released her third album, Tea and Sympathy, which I have to tell you, this album floors me. I listen to it all the freaking time. Billie Myers, welcome to this show, is so gay.
Okay. You. Wow, that's so nice. That's lovely of you to say. Wow.
Well, that was you. This is you. This is you and your music. Well, what's going on with you? Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you. Firstly, let me apologize to you for not being able to make the last time.
Oh, absolutely. Then you were doing a little voiceover work.
I was. Yes, indeed. I was playing my evil self, a.k.a. Dark Materia for a children's animation series that's on Cartoon Network as of March, and they unfortunately scheduled it deliberately, I feel.
I think so.
Deliberately. So I obviously, you know, Cartoon Network have an issue with you, Ken.
Yes. No, and this is not the first time. We got into a whole thing over some show called Ben 10. No, this has been a long-standing feud between our local access Vermont radio show and the entire Cartoon Network. So,
well, I knew it.
Yeah.
And I phoned them and I said, listen, dude, enough already. And then
No, it's not good.
The way it's going to be.
It's not good.
You know,
it's not good.
If you want the next Disney gig, you have to do this. And I was like, well, if you can put it like that.
Now, would I turn down free cable? No, I would not, Billie Myers. But
I'm glad that you appreciate my cable dilemma.
Yes. No, I could feel you wrestling with it even over email. So I appreciate the struggle. Really,
I mean, yeah.
It was good.
I'll do for a free T-shirt. There you go.
But here you are now. So let's not dwell on the past. It's almost a new year. We're moving into the future.
Lou, what are your resolutions for the new year?
You know, I'm not so good with the resolutions. I tend to forget them by January 3rd. January 3rd.
You've got 3 days on me. I'm usually by 1 minute past midnight.
Is that right?
Midnight, yeah. 1 minute to midnight, I'm changing the world. And I'm going to be very, you know, 1 minute to midnight. It's like I had a brief conversation about this tonight, and I was like, well, what am I going to do? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be very proactive, and I'm not going to be frightened to do this, and who cares if people don't like it? And I guarantee you, like, the first working day of January is like, oh, you know, I don't know. I mean, if they don't like that, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I will. I'm telling you, tomorrow night I'll make a resolution that I'm going to reignite my fight with the Cartoon Network, and then by January 3rd I'm going to be watching Teen Titans, and my partner's going to be like, wait a second, aren't you feuding with the? Oh shoot, that's right.
But the problem is you can't feud with them anymore. As of March, you're going to be feuded. I mean, I will do what I can do. You know, I will be the Gandhi of Switzerland if necessary, you know, to mediate between you both, but. Come March, I mean, dude, we got conversations to be having with Dark Materia.
We got to stick together. We got to stick together on this.
I mean, I'm trying to turn her pink.
My, oh my. Now, you are...
Cartoon Network hear that, I'm so fired.
Yeah, let me tell you how they're not listening. I can pretty much put safe money on that one. And let me tell you, if what they're actually doing at board meetings is listening to this show is so gay, we have a whole new problem. There's a whole new problem with the Cartoon Network. You, ma'am, are our last guest of 2009.
Is that a good thing or
it's bittersweet.
It's sweet, isn't it?
It's a little bit bittersweet. Now all the websites, Billie Myers, have been talking about the year in review. What kind of year was it? And particularly, what kind of year was it for the gays? You had quite the year. And I must say, I've watched this so many times, I can't even tell you. On October...
Not my sex tape, please.
No. Oh, that's... I don't talk about... My dad was on the show earlier tonight, Billy. I can't talk about that right now.
Oh.
On October 11, 2009, Billie Myers sang America the Beautiful before a crowd of thousands and thousands and thousands in Washington, D.C. at the LGBT Equality March. What was that experience like for you?
You know, I have to say, it was frightening. You know, I knew it was going to be really, really important, and the night before, and, they'd had a thing where a lot of the people involved had, been speaking, and I knew it was going to be important. And, I arrived there, and I was really lucky because the most lovely, handsome, dashing Dave Cost was, going to play saxophone, and all of these lovely things. And, in the morning we went there, and, I was laughing. I'm like, hey, this is great. Here's a little Miss English me, and I'm going to be, on the lawn for the first lawn in the capital. There was really not anybody there at 10 o'clock in the morning for soundtrack, and, we come out. But when I came back, and I just saw, as far as the eye could see,
right,
down the West Lawn, and it was a sea of faces that, for the most part, were probably under 30. And I have to tell you, it was humbling, and it was really scary. And I know I got some flack because I did forget. I think I got two words mixed up or something. And I was like, but honestly, it was so frightening because it, just from the historical perspective of singing that particular song,
right,
kind of. You're going in and you're English, so you're kind of at minus five.
You did get in a little bit of trouble. One website was not thrilled that you broke out into God Save the Queen. But then other than that...
But it was a dance version. I thought that would go well for us. I thought, if I was going to do anything, I did it my way in God Save the Queen.
The Thunderpuss remix of God Save the Queen is really a chart stopper.
But, in all seriousness, for me personally, it was really humbling because... You kind of walk onto that stage and you really feel how minute. It's great that you're there and it's great that, you have somebody giving you that opportunity to be there. But you also understand that it's not really, both Dave and I were like, we're on the right side of history, we know. But it really wasn't so much about us. It really was about each and every person out there who has stood there and listened for hours. I spoke to people who have driven 17 hours, or people whose parents have brought, their kids because their kids weren't old enough to actually, go to the march on their
right.
own. And I, honestly, I hope I get the opportunity to do more things like that. And for your listeners, I can only say time and time and again that, change doesn't come through silence. And I think that 2010 has to be the time that every single person, and it's not only the people in the GL, BT
right.
community, it's the friends of, and people have to stand up and they have to be heard. And I know we all love Brack, and so on, but it becomes a point where telling people that, we should be happy if we get our rights in 2017 is not acceptable. And
right.
we have a right to say, hang on a minute, we voted you in on a load of promises that you haven't kept. And I know people get really upset with me because I say that. And I understand that, and I'm not knocking him as an individual, because that's great. But I think as a community, every time we stray away from telling it as it is, we're acquiescing and we're giving people power and we're diluting our message. So for me, I just hope that everybody listening, even if you write one letter to, a congressperson, I'm not a big advocate of outing people and all of that.
Right.
And they deserve to have their private life, and I don't think... Outing somebody isn't making a stand. That's just an invasion of privacy, and that person who may not be out is making a stand every day by being true to themselves, as in who they are and who they go home to. But we need to be heard. We need and to be heard articulately, and it's a really big issue.
Now, I have to imagine that you got a ton of just overwhelmingly positive feedback, though, because for folks that haven't seen, don't just click on the clip on YouTube that just has Billy Myers singing America the Beautiful. Click on one of the longer ones. I think it's about 7 minutes, and seeing your comments before you sing. And it was such a lovely transition because you spoke so passionately and it transitioned seamlessly into a pure expression of love when you sang. And I didn't think it was two completely different things where you made this political statement and then you sang a song and they were disconnected. It just flowed, and it really was beautiful.
Well, I hope so. And again, as I said at the very beginning of this, it's really, it was very important to me that it wasn't about my, you know, my little old voice.
Right.
You know, and at the very end, for me, the most spectacular, and it'll probably stay with me till the day I croak, is running out to the fence in front of, you know, about 150,000, 200,000 people. I'm putting the mic on them because it really wasn't about me saying, you know, how proud we should be of this country and how proud we should be of change and et cetera, et cetera. But about every single voice there. And that's probably the one thing that will stay with me forever.
Yeah, but there is a degree to which, Ms. Myers, I'm not going to let you minimize your contribution. Because there are so many artists who are not using their voice in the way that you're doing. And it's such an act of compassion and bravery and representation for so many different people that while I acknowledge and nod my head towards you putting it back and saying that it's about the people, I will not let you minimize the power that you have had and the steps that you've taken, because they are huge on behalf of this community. Huge.
You know, I guess for myself, I've never really had to struggle with who, you know, certainly not, my sexuality has never been an issue for me. So I don't see it as that. I just see it as me. So when I see people who truly have, you know, I got on a plane, I stayed in a nice hotel, you know, and it was all quite nice. But, you know, a lot of people who came to that event, you know, as I said, it was, and it's not that it wasn't in some means, but there were things that, you know, that I cancelled to be there. But a lot of the people who came to that really, you know, they did slip across on the Greyhound. They did do the things that truly are the mark of change, that truly are the mark of the real fighters. And no disrespect intended to me or to Lady Gaga or to anybody else. And I'm not certainly in the Lady Gaga league, but, you know, we...
On this show, you are.
Believe me, I wish I was, but, you know, we were there, you know, let's be honest, we were backstage, you know, we had our food, we had our water, we had our lavatory. So, yes, great that we were there, but the real face of change is on the people that, who stood on, you know, in front of the stage and made their voices heard, because they did it from the right place.
Right.
You know.
You know, it's really not my thing on this show to argue with the guests, but I still am sitting here thinking, I'm still sitting here thinking how many people were asked to perform and said no. And well,
I
suspect...
I would like to think that everybody, I mean, I would like to think that people were asked and said yes. I mean...
All right, we'll go with that.
I hope so. I mean,
I hope so.
Listen, I've been very vocal about that, and I do have my own, you know, I do believe that as a community, it's unfortunate that the face of the GLBT community that's often seen is the face of parades.
Right.
That, you know, and not necessarily the family-orientated parades, but every, you know, anything that the media and the so-called, you know, straight civilization want to stereotype the GLBT community into, you know, they'll always show, I don't know, the leather fair.
Exactly.
Or... And Frank, you know, and there's nothing wrong with the leather fair per se, but it's nothing wrong with leather actually. But it's just that when you have a bunch of bigots who want to make that the face of a minority, and they use it and they twist, you know, a lifestyle and twist and twist and twist, we have to make sure that almost the normal Joe blogs are the voices that are heard, so that people get past that fear of, you know, these ridiculous stereotypes of what they think it represents. But people do need to know, you know, that hypothetically, you know, in my case, for instance, that, you know, a gay woman did write America the Beautiful in,
right,
in of itself. That is, there's an irony about that, that such a song was such a song of optimism and hope. And, you know, we should be going, and it was written by somebody who was gay. How amazing is that? How amazingly optimistic was that person? And we should, you know, in very true Olympic style, pick up that flame and run with it.
Now, can I ask a completely ignorant question? What are things like over across the pond in the UK for LGBT British folks?
Well, you know, a lot. I would like to say that certainly on a government level, they're a lot improved, because we are afforded the rights, you know, immigration status, healthcare benefits, you know, the right to marry. So, yes, on a government level, that is to pretty much all intents and purposes been taken care of. Does homophobia still exist? Of course. That's, that's an issue I'm sure that will last until, you know, there's no one left to bury. But politically, I definitely think that England is a tad more advanced. But also, England is older than America. You know, Europe is older. And so America, in my opinion, you know, and I come as somebody that I come to the table as an English person who doesn't grasp why Americans give Americans such a hard time, you know, and I have often said, you know, much to the annoyance of my European counterparts, and I really believe that America is a victim of the biggest PR campaign at the hands of the rest of the world, that it believes this sort of rubbish of, you know, how evil and, you know, suddenly, you know, one would think that the only country in the world that's capitalist is America. And I sort of look around and I'm like, well, I don't really see, you know, Europe's not that different. Are there going to be growing pains? Of course.
So we got to stick together. We got to do some sticking together.
But, you know, people forget things like America is the most charitable country in the world. Yes, you know, things need to change. You know, yes, healthcare needs to be looked at, you know, education, but every country that you go to, pretty much, those are issues that every individual is fighting for. And in the real scheme of things, we're certainly a lot more advanced here than other countries, and maybe not as advanced as others.
Absolutely.
But you know, but we take for granted, I think, democracy and these things that the majority of the world don't actually have. When you look at just strictly look at numbers.
Mm-hmm. All right, we gotta do some sticking together. I mean, I think the perspective that sometimes gets lost, though, is this very American-centered, and we're the only ones struggling. Well, no, of course we're not.
It's not even that for me. I don't think that it's like Americans. I see, for me, I have America only has a good place in my heart. I don't think that Americans are the only ones struggling. I just think it's unfortunate that Americans believe what other people are telling them.
Right.
That, you know, that the PR campaign about how evil and naughty America is, and that, you know, I feel it's really sad. You know, I have American friends and they go to Europe and they don't really want to go, well, tell anybody they're American. And I'm like, why would you not want to do that? And they're like, well, this and this. And I'm like, well, what about that and that? So everybody has to stick together as a country, of course. You know, the division of the state from a federal level, the GL... It's always weird to me that, because I think that when you say GLBT community, it sounds like a sandwich. It does, doesn't it?
So it does.
GLBT, please.
Yes.
No mayo.
To go.
To go. Yeah, I mean, this is a difficult country because it's so vast and so divided, you know, obviously by state. And there are some issues such as equality, gay rights, obviously, and equality that need to be mandated on a federal level. And that's the big hurdle amongst that.
Well, one thing that brings people together would be your music. Can we talk about your music for a little bit?
We can talk about my music any day.
Now, in my happy place, you never get sick of singing Kiss the Rain.
Well, I don't ever get
good
sick of singing Kiss the Rain. No, I love singing Kiss the Rain. I mean, there's so many. I have, listen, you know, I truly still get a kick every time I sing it, and maybe even more so now, actually.
I love it.
Than even at the time, because... you know, there's such a familiarity to others about that song, and they may not know the song, but generally they hear "Hello, can you hear me?" and
they know the song.
They know the song, and it makes me laugh. You know, and I'm the first to admit. Listen, honey, I know it was played to death. Thank you very much. I'm really sorry if you had to be one of those people listening to the radio and it was played 70 times a day. My bank account really did well as a result for a short period of time, and I'm very happy about that. And I know you might have got bored.
But you have to know how many times people all across the world said hello back. Can you hear me? Yes, I can, Billy Myers. I mean, there are so many times that I answered your song, and I realized that perhaps you couldn't hear me, but that's okay. In my happy place, you could.
You know what? It's okay. If you ever see me live, then you'll go hello back. The reason, and I'll probably stop and go, hey, how you doing? But it's kind of the whole nature of that song, you know, with the telephone conversation. Everybody at some point in some language has said, hello, can you hear me? Unfortunately, Miss Myers over here, when my phone isn't working very well, I can't go, hello, can you hear me? Because my friends just think it's the funniest thing ever. And then suddenly they'll launch into Kiss the Rain, and... I try.
I'm sorry. If I was ever on the phone with you and you said that, I would just start laughing. I would just think it was the funniest thing. Yeah. All right, but we got it. That's enough of Kiss the Rain. We got to talk about some of your other music because Tea and Sympathy is just, it is just brilliant. And I want to talk about a couple songs off of that. Wonderful. It's a free show.
It's gone well.
Well, I'm still waiting for my residuals from Cartoon Network, but Wonderful.
I'll sort it out for you.
Yeah. Love the song Wonderful. Tell us about the song Wonderful.
You know, Wonderful really is probably Wonderful and You Were. They're both the most positive songs on the album insofar as they recognize the depth of how I'm feeling for somebody and how that other person, to some degree, is complete who I am. Unfortunately, and Wonderful, there is still that agonizing sense of insecurity, which is you are so wonderful and you are all of these amazing things, and I recognize that, so what on earth do you see in me?
Right.
Really, the two-pronged thing on Wonderful is the acknowledgement that, you know, you know, when your hand is on my face, the simplicity of that, but it's perfection to me. And
it's such a great song.
It just makes me feel more insecure the more perfect you are. But that would be Wonderful, yeah.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot for one more song, and we're going to go back a little bit because I have to tell you. Now, I am a Billy Myers devotee. This interview is a thrill for me. My favorite Billy Myers song, far and away, is Where Romeo Never Dies. And that's the song that's going to play you out in just a minute. I love that song.
Well, you and another guy called Sean, if he's listening, and I'm sure he will be, love that song. And I still owe him a live version of it at some point.
Tell people about Where Romeo Never Dies.
You know, again, it was that sense of believing in love. And it doesn't matter how passionate and, you know, over the edge someone makes you feel. The truth of the matter is, everything isn't Romeo and Juliet, but in my world, it's okay if you're going to be insecure and you're going to be possessive and you're going to be jealous and you're going to be nervous. But I'm telling you up front, you know, I'm telling you, I'm going to make you nervous, I'm going to make you jealous, I'm going to make you really wish you'd never started this whole relationship. But it's okay because it's all going to be okay because Romeo never dies. It's not like there isn't death, there's no badness in this, and that's really it's just meant to be a fun song about just. Go with it. Go with the nervousness.
It's a brilliant song.
Doesn't matter, because you know what? It's worth, in theory at least, I'm worth the ride. So many people would disagree with that.
Not on this show. Not on this show. No way. Now tell us, where
I was told that very same thing earlier today. Very similar.
Yeah.
So it really is about, you know, the nerves, the angst, the stomach ache, the headache, the stumbling and... But it's all good, because if you don't have that, then maybe something's missing.
That's going to be our new tagline. This show is so gay, Where Romeo Never Dies. That's what we're going to go with.
Yeah,
well, I'm fine with that too. What do you got coming up? Where should folks go to learn more about you?
Well, obviously, there's there's a web page, the www.billymyers.com. There's Twitter. There's Facebook. I'm hoping to tour, in the first quarter of the year. And hopefully, be all over the place.
Will you be going back on the Lilith Fair?
You know, unfortunately, it doesn't look like it.
Oh.
I'm rather gutted. The Lilith Fair obviously gets inundated with, I'm sure, so many people wanting to do it. And
right.
Unfortunately, you know, at this point, it's not like I would necessarily, probably be when they have such, incredible high caliber of people who can bring seats on chairs. I'm not probably.
That's you. No, I think it's you.
I would love it, but not. So you have to just come and see me acoustically or with my full band. And what I'll do is I'll follow Lilith Fair around, and wherever Lilith Fair is, I'll be playing the next night.
Yes, please come to the Billy Myers tailgating party at Lilith Fair.
Where are you located?
Well, I'm in Vermont.
Oh, do you know Vermont? The very, very, very first time I ever came to America, and I worked for the Girl Guides of America. It was in Vermont.
Look at that.
Yeah, in Fetchford, Vermont.
Oh, see, we have a special place in your heart.
You're probably one of those little kids I slapped.
No comment. I'm sure I have no idea what you're talking about.
But you were probably that kid that when I slapped you left and went, do it again.
I was saying, wait, what? Can you hear me? Do it again. It's fine.
Pardon, what's that?
Billy Myers, I'm telling you, this is a dream for me. It is a dream to talk to you. You, again, I fully appreciate that everyone has their voice and everyone needs to use your voice, but you really are stepping up to the plate, and that is a big deal. You are a hero to so many in the GLBT community.
I truly do appreciate that. I'm not minimizing that. That's not how it comes
about. Oh, no, not at all.
Want to make sure that every individual who's listening, you know, let's do it again next year, the Washington March.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and double the numbers, or even if it's a march of 10 in your local neighborhood, the next one might be a march of 20, and it's really important.
It could be a Thanksgiving dinner. It could be anywhere. Just band together with some other people and tell them what you're thinking.
Yeah. Honestly, it's something as simple as just being nice.
Right.
I know that sounds so like, well, woohoo, but just being that gay person who is nice to somebody who's even a bigot. I mean, it really does test my patience when I have to listen to something. But sometimes I don't always stay very nice, but sometimes I deliberately will stay really nice just because I don't want to give them anything else to say.
Right.
And they're just, you know, and we have kids and listening and kids growing up, and they, you know, in a world where, you know, and I'm very open about suppression and things like that, and, you know, amongst the gay young, depression, suicide is
huge
issue.
And it's huge.
It shouldn't be. We need to embrace and be able to make it easier for the next generation, and that's our job.
And we cannot do that if we don't use our voice. So, folks, you must use your voice. Billy Myers, I thank you tremendously for using your voice. I'm so appreciative.
I can only say a huge thank you for letting me be on your show.
Well, all the best.
I'm the last one.
Now, what are you doing for New Year's? What's the big plan?
You know, I don't know yet. I'm in Miami right now, and Lady Gaga is actually going to be doing two shows down here, and I'm the day after New Year, I think, and I'm going to go to one of them. So I think I'm going to do that. I may just stay with a couple of friends, I think, on New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, because trying to get into anywhere in Miami on New Year's Eve is like Clash of Titans. You know, it's a nightmare. So I don't know. I'll probably do that. What about you?
You know, I'm not sure. We tend to play it pretty low-key on New Year's, but now all I can do is picturing you in the bubble Lady Gaga dress, and I'm not sure what to do with that image.
Well, I would... Honey, I could picture me in Lady Gaga. Whoops! Sorry about that.
And on that note...
Okay.
Billy Myers, just an absolute joy. An absolute joy. Here's wishing you just the healthiest, happiest new year. I hope 2010 brings everything that you could possibly desire, and that you remember it past January 2nd, that all those resolutions that you do.
Well, you know what? I hope I get to talk to you in 2010.
Oh, I hope so.
A little way down, and we'll be laughing and giggling about something that's happened, and that for both of us that has been really good, and we just can't believe our good fortune. That will be the gift that, you know, I would give to anybody.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Billy. You keep singing. I don't know what else to say, but keep singing, keep using that voice. We're just so appreciative.
Hello, can you hear me?
That's our first in-studio performance.
You're going to have the tagline of, where, is it Kenneth or Kenny? What would you prefer?
You know, everyone at home calls me Kenny. I don't know what to do with that, okay. But Kenneth
where
is only when I'm in trouble.
Never die. Oh. There you go. You've got your tagline, see?
I'm going to record that one. Billy Myers.
Where Danny? Yeah, I can come up with a whole lyric there.
Oh, my gosh. I just want everyone, they heard it here first. A new song
Where
off
Kenny
of...
Kenny Never Dies.
Yes, off of the next Billy Myers album, Kenny and Sympathy.
It is. Lead song. So single, I feel.
Kenny and Sympathy coming out in 2011. Where Kenny Never Dies. I'm really excited. You can hear it in the parking lot of Lilith Fair. Billy Myers, thank you so much. Here's wishing you all the best.
Back at you, honey.
All right. Have a lovely one.
Bye.
Love letters from Shakespeare and written just last year. The feeling's gone, but the point's still clear. Well,
Snoopy tongue-tied on a tightrope of fine lines.
Be careful, read the one inside.
I'm gonna make you jealous. I'm gonna make you nervous. I'm gonna make you wish you'd never started.
As this plays us out, thank you to Billy Myers. Love this song. Love her so much. Thanks to my dad for calling in. Thanks to Becca, who I hope is having a great time down in New Jersey. And truly, truly, most of all, I want to thank you guys out there for listening. This has been just the most incredible year for The Show Is So Gay. It was our first full year on the air. We had just an amazing time with the most incredible guests, the most incredible feedback from all of you, and really just an incredible time having the opportunity to put our voice out there, to talk about gay issues, to talk to you all, to talk to people I never would have dreamed in my life I ever would have spoken to. So here's wishing you happy and healthy. Have the best new year ever. Get out there. Have a great, great time tomorrow night. And remember, on this New Year's, 4/2010, why be gay when you can be so gay?